My name is Eric Kusi, and I'm 48 years old from Liberia, West Africa, in Africa. I came here in 1989 and seek political refugee. I was granted as credible basic, and during that time, between 2 years' time for me to qualify to become a citizen, I get convicted, and because of convictions, I could not apply for citizenship. But I was a resident permanent.
What happened once you were detained after you were convicted?
This is what happened. They sent me. I was deported to Liberia, and I couldn't go because I was told that I have no legal appeals because of convictions. Mm-hmm. So I have to go back to my country. I went there with two officers to Liberia. Get to Liberia, and Liberia refused to take me my entry. They refused to take me, so the Canadian government returned me back to Canada. And when they bring me to Canada, the Canadian immigration keep me in jail for 14 months. Then they release me. When they release me, they give me conditions not to get convicted or not to obey the law and report to them every once a month, which I was doing it. And then I breached it again. When I breached it again, they trying to deport me again. My country refused me, and my country refused to even give me travel documents. So they released me again. Now, since 2011, I came to Immigration Board. I'm here up to now. Now they trying to send me to different countries that I don't belong to, and that country says they're not going to take me because I'm not from their country. That country is Ghana, saying that my voice and my appearance look like Ghanaians, so they were about to take me to Ghana, and Ghana people says no, they don't want to take me because I'm a Ghanaian citizen. So at this point, I'm still here. They don't want to send me to immigration, they want to send me to Somalia because Somalia has no government. So they offer me $4,000, but I refuse to take the money. Because it's my country, and if you go there, the war over there, I would jeopardize my life. So he refused that. And now what he's doing is they think that they can find any country to give me a travel document. So because of that, they sent an investigation team to Interpol or any other country to see if they can take me. But so far, nobody wants to take me. I'm here, I've been in jail, and no cops want to take me, and because of that, my criminal history, they don't want to take me, so I get stuck in jail. Basically, that's what it is. Anytime I go to court, immigration hearing, they told me that in order for them to release me, I need a bonds person, and I need a supervision, mm-hmm. which I did. I have a supervision, I have a programs, I read the program that I'm taking. I take program from NIFA, I take a program from Salvation Army, I take a program from John Howard Society. So I have about 8 certificates already that I participate in anger management, life skills, cog skills. I did life balance, family development, account management. I do social skills. So at this point, I'm still doing another program. This program, Redemption Reintegration Society, give me a letter to immigration that they're going to supervise me. They're going to help me to reintegrate myself into society to become a better person. They said they're going to give me a job. They sent a letter to immigration turned me down. So at this point, everything that immigration asked me to do in order for me to get released, I did it, but they still hold me in jail saying that I'm a flight risk and I'm a danger to the public.
And are many other immigrant detainees in the same situation as you?
Yes, and there's some people that even their case is even not serious as mine, because it just arrived from other countries. Even right now, my place, I have three people that just arrived from France, another one just arrived from Africa, another one just arrived from Caribbean, and the immigration hold them in the airport. And since the airport, they bring them here. They have no criminal record, no criminal history. They seek political refugee, and the immigration is keeping them in jail until their hearings be held. There's one guy that comes from Armenia. This person seeks political refugee. They said he's inadmissible in Canada. So he signed to go home. Immigration says, no, you're not allowed to leave. So wait until the process is finished. Once the process is going, CBSA decided to give him bail, sign his bail to bail program, but the judge refused to give him the bail.
Mm-hmm.
So right now he's been here for 6 months and he has nobody on the street. There are nobody, he's nowhere. He depends on the jail system and he doesn't have nobody to see me to call. So his case is even worse than me. My case is worse, but I can say that I get convicted before and I did crime before and I served my time, and at least my situation is not that serious like him, that he's never even convicted before.
Yeah, no convictions, yeah. Just kind of came with the wrong papers and then was in prison.
Yes, and he has no other sources at all to get out. So we need people out there, people out there to voice our opinion, to help us out, to find some kind of groups that's willing to help people like that and people like me, to be able to become a better person to the society and change your life around to do good. I cooperated to go home. I did not refuse to go home. I signed my documents. I signed my petitions to go home. I did everything they required me to do instead of staying in jail. The immigration is not releasing me.
To contact, you were talking about how Superintendent Heelan, because I think a lot of folks' impression was that they should contact Neil Neville. Should we be contacting Mr. Heelan? Who should we be contacting?
Yes. I think Mr. Heelan is the right person to contact because he is the only one that came here and spoke to us. Mr. Neville came here and do a tour. That tour, he just walking around and asked people how we feel. We voice our opinion and our concerns to him. He says he's going to pass it on. He left, he never come back. He never see us. We don't know where he is. We don't know the outcome of that situation. So when we start to strike, hunger strike, Mr. Heelan is the one that came here to talk to us. He's the one that assured us that we should not do anything to violence or anything to derail this course. So he says he's going to have a meeting with the CBSA on Friday. They did that, and he came here on Monday, which is yesterday, and spoke to us that there's a meeting going on, it's an ongoing meeting, and he's going to come back and talk to us on Wednesday to tell us the outcome of the meeting. We asked him to get CBSA to come and speak to us themselves, because there's some questions that we asked him, and he says he has no answer to that question. But so far, we did not see CBSA.
When did he say that he was going to get back to you from his meeting?
Which is tomorrow. When is he waiting to see that outcome of that? But so far, we're still on hunger strike. So far, we're still protesting.
Right.
Until we get some kind of closure to this.
How many individuals are on hunger strike, would you say?
Right now, we have five ranges is on hunger strike, and each range is 32 people, and one range is not participating, but they are immigration, they are not participating because they are PC. Our range is a protective of custody, and they've been protected by the other inmates because of their crimes. They were protected by the jail. Those species are the only range that is not participating.
Okay.
Everybody else is participating the hunger strike.
And are the specific demands the same?
Yes, the demands are lengthy detention. People that are ready to go home, that signed their documents and ready to go home, and they're still sitting jail in jail, those are one of them. And then lengthy detention, people that their country refused to give them travel documents, and immigration is still holding them, even though they don't have no travel documents. And then there's people that never commit no crime, and these people have been in jail, hold them in jail, and immigration is not releasing them. And then there's a people that are on the street. These people did not do anything. They are on immigration. Immigration gave them a schedule to report themselves to them. And these people, immigration send them a letter telling them that they want to talk to them.
Right.
And when they come to talk to them, they hold them. They put them in jail. And those people are here with us. So these are the most important demands we are asking them to look into that and their policies. The jail, the accounting systems are very bad. The phone systems, we cannot get hold to our lawyers and our families because these phone systems are very bad. It's very sensitive. You cannot make 20-minute phone call without the phone cutting off. Any noise at all, any noise around the phone will cut off. So mm-hmm. The phone systems are most important too. And access to our lawyers, access to our family members are most important. So these are the demands that we are striving for.
How long do you think that the striking will continue?
This strike is going to continue until someone from CBEC or somebody, some activist group or some deputy or somebody come and talk to us and listen to our concerns and make an effort to make changes or try to see what they are planning to do. At least we need to know that somebody heard our concerns and they know that these are the problems and they are willing to change that, or they are willing to talk about it, or they are willing to listen, or they are willing to do something.
Right.
And when we are satisfied that somebody heard us and people know our concerns, then we can able to stop our hunger strike and our strike. So far, we do not have a CBSA. They're not talking to us. Nobody's talking to us except Mr. Haley. This superintendent is the one that came and talked to us, but he doesn't have an answer that we're looking for to us. So he is going back again to relay the message to CBSA and come back to talk to us on Wednesday to see how far this is going.
Has he mentioned responding to the fact that you guys aren't able to make international calls? Has he said that he's going to try to work on that?
Yes. There's some people that have family members in overseas. There's some people that doesn't have nobody in Canada and they need to contact their family in overseas. But the phone systems is not allowing us to do that because the phone, like I said, the phone is very bad. And again, we don't have a social worker that can able to help us to do all the phone calls for us. So Mr. Hillen yesterday said that he's going to assign one person for 6 ranges to able to do that. But so far, we don't see that. We don't know that. Nobody is here to talk to us, and nobody is willing to do that for us.
Right.
Many people want to call their family, and we don't have access to make a phone call to our family in overseas.
Thank you so much for your time and kind of explaining this to me a few times.